Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, though, there is more and more demand amongst farmers for prenup agreements, particularly as farm margins tighten and divorce numbers rise. This is according to the Irish Farmers Association, and they're pushing the government now to legislate for these pre-marriage agreements to protect the integrity of Irish farms. Alice Doyle is the Deputy President of the IFA. She's been campaigning on this, and she's here with me in the studio. And on the line, we have Aisling Meehan, who's an agricultural solicitor, and you're both very welcome. Thank you for being with us. Alice, I'll start with you on this. I know you travel around the country, you speak to farmers with your role in the IFA. Do you hear that concerns are increasing over this?
Yes, we do, Claire. And actually, last year it came very much to our attention. We had four different events last year on inheritance and succession. And at every one of those events, it was raised by the farmers present that they wanted us to pursue this. We had tried to pursue it back in 2013 and approached the Minister for Justice at the time, but it didn't get traction. But it has really increased now. And so we are being much more proactive now about making progress in getting towards steps towards providing, arrangements where prenups can be made and giving the option.
So the farmers then are finding that if a marriage breaks down, the farm is gone, 50% of the farm is gone with the marriage. Is that what happened?
No, it's not quite as simple as 50% is gone. Our divorce laws don't quite allow for that. You know, they do make provision for everybody involved under certain circumstances. But there's four things that really influence farmers when they want to look for prenups or basically having the option of making a prenup. And the first one is the fact that the farm is a working asset. It's somewhat different than having just an asset. It's a working asset. So your income is based on that asset. And if that asset is split up, no matter what percentage, it actually makes it unviable, or it can make it unviable. So that's number one. Number two is, in many cases on farms, you have two families being supported out of the farm. The younger couple, maybe, where the separation may be happening. The older couple may have handed over the farm, but they may be being financially supported by the farm still. And the third one is a very new one, where we have a lot of people now marrying into farms, and they're equally as interested in having prenups because they're getting married a bit older. They're bringing in substantial assets because they've accumulated assets, they've accumulated cash, and they've accumulated maybe pension provision as well. So their assets may be as much or more than the farm. So they want to cover themselves coming in to it as well. And the last one, I suppose, is around equity. In the Cohabitation Act of 2010, people who want to cohabit can make financial agreement beforehand about how their assets will be split in the event of the arrangement breaking up. And I suppose from equity, if you get married, why shouldn't you be able to do the same?
Well, Aisling, let's get the lay of the law on this one from you, because prenups in Ireland, you can have one if you want, but they don't stand up, do they?
Good morning, Claire. I suppose they're not illegal or unenforceable, but equally the courts are not obliged to enforce them. I think it's important just to highlight that even if prenuptial agreements are introduced, it's not, I suppose, the panacea that people will expect, because there was a working group that were pulled together, and the Law Society has backed their proposals from the working group. And if there is any prenup, they want that prenup to still be subject to court approval, in that the most important thing is that proper provision is made for a spouse and a dependent. So while a prenuptial agreement will give a certain amount of certainty to the couples, it's not 100% certain that the courts don't have the ability to interfere if needs be. So that has been the recommendations of, we'll say, the Law Society and of the working group.
Yes, because you could have a prenup that is a really unfair prenup, and you can't expect that to be taken into account when the separation is done.
Yes, that absolutely. And I suppose if Ireland fails to legislate for legal recognition of prenup, there is a danger, Claire, that what happens is that the court may recognise them anyway, as in England and Wales, and there would be without appropriate safeguards or any real policy analysis. I mean, the expert group summarised their recommendations that they wanted, prenups, that there's provision for the court to scrutinise them, that there be procedural safeguards, such as that they have to be in writing, signed, witnessed, you have full disclosure of financial information, and that they have to be...
Okay, that line isn't great, Aisling. We'll try and improve it. In the meantime, I'll come back to Alice. What is it that the IFA want here? What are you seeking?
We want that the option is available for farmers to avail of it if they want to. We're not saying farmers have to have a prenup or should not have a prenup. We're saying the option should be available for them to use it. And we know, as Aisling clearly said, that it may not be, you know, very clear ABC, you're going to get ABC according to your prenup. But what we do believe is that if there was a prenup available, that what's called persuasive effect, that it would have, when the judge would be making a decision, when it would come to splitting up the asset, that it would, he would be able to use what's called persuasive effect. That knowing that there was a pre-arrangement made, and this was made in, as Aisling was about to say to you there, that was made under legal guidance and full disclosure and all of that. And if that was all done prior to getting married, there was pre-thought went into this as to how, what would happen in the event if we did split up, you know. So the judge would use it as persuasive effect rather than as a, you know, a black and white.
I'm just wondering how it would work. Like, you'd need an independent legal mind looking at that prenup to be able to decide whether it was fair and whether, you know, either party wasn't coerced into signing this before the marriage. Who would do that job?
Well, actually, the way it's set up, particularly with the cohabitation one, because that's the similar type of thing we'd be looking for, is if that has to be set up, each party has to have separate solicitors. They have to have it done under separate legal guidance. Mm-hmm. They have to have it written, full disclosure of all their assets have to be disclosed, and then full disclosure of how they want to split up in the event of them splitting up.
It's not romantic, Alison.
It's not at all. And it takes somebody said that to me recently, you know, if it takes the love out of the relationship when you start talking about assets. But at the same time, I think people are becoming more aware of the fact that these things are practical things, and marriage is not as stable as it used to be when our previous generation, even my own generation, got married. Marriage was for life. Or it was seen like that, so you took whatever came your way. Mm-hmm. But that's not the way, that's society, and I think we have to move with societal change, and if society are asking for change, we have to look at that.
So okay, in the past you would have people who just stayed together because this was too difficult to even consider.
Absolutely. And particularly in a lot of farming setups, a lot of the women weren't financially independent. They were working on the farm and were living off the farm with no independent income. Now you have a lot of people who have independent income. And even if they don't, they have more independence and more facilities to gain support if they leave a marriage. So I suppose I'm not suggesting for 1 minute that we ask people to be considering getting out the day you get in. We'd hope it would be for life. But in the event of it not, we have to be practical too. And we have to be practical when it comes to the arrangement for the family, for the couple themselves, the family involved, the farm as well. So and said it's a working asset, so we have to be careful. And we do know that it's not just farmers. Small businesses are also affected the same way.
Yes.
So we would be hoping to engage their support going forward as well.
Aisling's back with us now. Is there resistance to legislating for prenuptial agreements?
Sorry, Claire. No, not necessarily. I mean, it really takes political will. And I think, you know, if the farmers on the ground need to contact their politicians, and I suppose, you know, the likes of the farm organisations, the IFA, people just need to get more vocal about it. There definitely is the demand there. I would have seen that. I was involved in those IFA meetings with Alice, and I see it, here within my own work. The other thing is I'm involved in a working group, you know, trying to level the playing field when it comes to women farmers. And I think it's, you know, it can help in recognising the role that women play on farms, because, you know, it means if there's a fair and informed negotiations, it makes it more likely that women's role on farms will be recognised. So it's really about choice, I think. You know, like, it's not for everyone. Like, personally, I wasn't a big fan of it. Initially, you know, I'm a farmer myself in my own right. But, you know, when it comes down to it, if it is a case that the unpredictability is leading to a reluctance to marry and or reluctance to pass on the farm to the next generation, well, then I think it's only fair that people have a choice.
Okay, and Alice, have you sought a meeting about this with the Minister for Justice?
We haven't gone to the Minister of Justice, because last time we went directly to the top and it didn't work. So this time we're going in a different route. So we've actually spoken to Peter Doyle, who is chair of the Law Society Family Law Committee, because that's the area where the legislation would have to be drawn up. So we're a little smarter this time. We're going to get, you know, talk to we've spoken to Peter already, who is quite interested in taking this on and looking at it and looking at the wording around how it would be worded, because that's very important to get it to proceed. So he will have a look at all of that. And then, you know, with any law, getting anything into law is a long process. Mm-hmm. And we have to go through all the steps and procedures.
So you would be intending to go to Helen McEntee with something fully formed almost.
Absolutely. Exactly. There's no point in going in and speculating. You know, we'd like this. We'd all love to million euro in the morning, but there's no point in asking for that unless you know how you want to get that million euro. Well, if we want this now, we have to know how we're going to go about it. So we have gone already to Peter. We've spoken to him there and received very well there, and he will have a look at that through his committee, and then we'll see how they word it, how they think we should proceed, and then we'll take advice on that. And exactly as Aisling said, then the next stages would be that, you know, once you get the wording and you take it to the first stage in committee level, and they'll be open for public scrutiny, that's where we would get people, like, we'd hope to get other people to support us then.
We will watch on with interest, because as you mentioned, there will be other groups, I'm sure, who will be interested, particularly those who are running small businesses. Alice, thanks very much for coming in. Alice Doyle, Deputy President of the IFA, and Aisling Meehan, who you heard there as well, who's an agricultural solicitor. We'll take a quick break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.